You're listening to Improvisations. On the phone with me now, vocalist, composer Theo Bleckman, who will be performing at the Big Ears Festival here in Knoxville, Tennessee. His performance is Saturday, March the 25th at 2:30 at the fabulous Bijou Theater. The festival runs from March 23rd through March 26th. Theo Bleckman, thanks for taking the time to talk with us.
Of course.
There's so many things I want to ask you, but I've decided to focus on your new recording. It's called Elegy. Mm-hmm. It's really a beautiful record. It's your debut as a leader on the ECM label. What inspired this recording in a general sense?
In a general sense, I didn't want to write any more love songs. I think there are enough in the world, number one. And secondly, I was really touched by death. Through losing my mother and losing friends recently, and also having a brush with death myself in a car accident. So I thought, you know what, let me take on this very fun subject matter and see what I can come up with.
Well, it definitely comes through sometimes very directly. The track Take My Life, which I have to say, there are many songs and poems about death. This one is very striking in the sense that it almost seems peaceful to me.
Yeah, I didn't want to make a project or a record that was gloomy or dreary when I talk about death. I was thinking of transcendence and of maybe taking death how you never look at it, which is maybe it's a positive experience too. We always think of it as horrible and terrible, and it is, but maybe, there's an aspect of it that's also a big relief and a moment of letting go of things, and that's where Take My Life came about. I was really inspired by two Bach cantatas in particular that speak about looking forward to death.
Silence. distinguish complexities in my dream, to never again take flight as I run.
Been the reaction that you've gotten on this particular piece?
Surprisingly positive, and especially in live setting, I've gotten a very strong reaction. People say that they thought of their, you know, deceased brother or their parents, or there's some incredible, incredibly emotional response to this program in general, but especially to this piece. I recently had a woman come up to me, and she just could not stop sharing her feelings about her mother, who is basically just dying right now. And it was incredibly therapeutic for her, which I was very surprised about, actually.
Well, you find in a lot of, you know, some of the great spiritual texts sort of instructions on how to pass on to the next phase, as it were. Is It almost seems like that as well to me, like almost like here's an instruction for how not to panic in this moment.
Yes. I'm no expert. I mean, I'm no expert on dying. I think nobody really is. Even Elisabeth Kübler-Ross was really panicky in her last moments, apparently. So I think this is more of a fantasy and a wishful thinking, and really just something that I'm hoping for. It's more hopeful than this is how it is or could be. Nobody knows, you know. I think it is really... just by looking at death and sitting with it and thinking about it and singing about it and writing about it, I think that takes a little bit of that crazy, ominous power away from it.
This recording has obviously several vocals, you being known as a vocalist, but there are several instrumentals, including the opening track, Semblance. From the recording Elegy, that was Semblance by Theo Bleckman, who is on the phone with us here on Improvisations. Why did you decide to start with an instrumental?
That was Manfred's idea when we sequenced the record. And these little interludes were also Manfred Eicher, the producer, who came up with this idea to take short segments from the pieces and make these short interludes out of them, which I think it works really beautifully. This record is my first record as a composer, as a, you know, fully putting my foot down as a composer, so to speak. And so whether it's instrumental or whether I'm singing on it, it still is my voice in a way.
Right. Well, it definitely has a cohesive sound, whether you're singing or not. I think that's a tribute to the recording. And speaking of Manfred Eicher, the recording starts out actually with 5 seconds of silence, like on many ECM records. Is this something that Manfred Eicher says you got to do, or how does he present this particular aspect of the record?
He doesn't present that, and it's a silent understanding that his aesthetic and my aesthetic will come together, and we don't need to talk about that.
Right.
Basically.
One of my favorite tracks, if not my favorite track on the record, is the one called To Be Shown to Monks at a Certain Temple. Beautiful arrangement, beautiful singing performance. The lyrics, I guess, come from a poem or maybe even a koan. Explain how this particular piece formed.
Ben Maunder and I were commissioned by the Zen Center in New York to set some poetry from a specific Zen poetry book to music, and I set two poems to music, and this was one of them. And what appeals to me here is that matter-of-factness. First of all, it's a short lyric, which I'm drawn to. And second of all, it's just this basic, this really is a recipe for how to live, and which is basically saying, don't worry about, don't obsess over death, just keep on going, even if it's winter, even if it's fall, even if it's dark, just keep going. There's nothing else you can do.
Not yet to the shore of Nandu. Thank you.
I've never really heard of a Zen organization approaching people to commission music. I'm sure it's happened many times. Were you surprised, or did you already have a connection with them?
I had a connection through Aaron Schrag, who is a shakuhachi and trumpet player, who's a Zen practitioner and a musician, and invited us to perform there.
What was the response from the Zendo, so to speak?
Very, very positive. Of course, they knew of the poem, and it was positive. It's very strange to perform in a Zen Zendo or in a Zen, like in front of a Buddha and in front of, you know, the seated crowd, but it worked. It was received very well, actually.
Tell me about your wonderful recreation, I'll call it, of Comedy Tonight from A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Forum. Because when I saw the song was going to be on the CD, when I was looking at the track listing, I kind of started imagining what it might sound like. And I'm familiar with Ben Maunder and other people, and I kind of imagined what it would sound like. It sounded nothing like what I imagined, but I absolutely love what I absolutely love it. How did you put this together?
I always have, and this is very maybe unique to me, but I think other people that I've talked to feel that too. When something is really exuberantly funny and joyous, there's always an underlying sadness to me on some level. So this piece is the opening for A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Forum, this big, burlesque, funny, ridiculous Broadway show. And when I see something that flawless and hear something performed beautifully, you know, in its original like that, there's a sadness to me in that. I don't know why or where or what, when that happens, but it just is. So I wanted to bring that melancholy out, not so much out of the piece, but bring my own melancholy into the piece. And secondly, as an homage to my mother, who was always laughing. She made herself laugh whenever she could. And I think lived to 91 because of that. I mean, she was one of the most fun-loving people. And so I wanted to put that on the record within that context.
Was your mother living in Germany, in Dortmund? Or?
Yes. Yes. She was living in the countryside near Dortmund, yes.
And what did she have to say about your art and your music?
I think she didn't really understand it intellectually. She came to a concert in 1991 once, and then she came later when I performed with Meredith Monk at the radio in Cologne. And I think she was proud without having to understand intellectually or even emotionally what this music was about. I think it was way beyond her reach and her taste maybe, but that didn't really matter. I think she knew that it made me happy, that I was successful doing it and made a living at it, and that was enough. Didn't have to please her.
Did she ever have a favorite song or piece of music that you performed for her?
No, not really. Even when I performed in German and I played it for her, she recognized some of the music, but it was just too arty and too far away from where she was. And that took me a couple of years to really understand and accept, but it's, who cares? You know, that's so unimportant in the end.
Right.
Whether you like something or really understand what I'm doing.
It sounds like from what you've told me already, a lot of the people that have been coming to your concert listening to this record find it cathartic in a sense.
That surprised me. I was really surprised because I thought, you know, people will like the music and, you know, they might like this or that arrangement of something. But the fact that they connect with the subject matter so deeply, I think has to do with the fact that we as a society never deal with it, unless maybe in death metal, perhaps. But really look at this and sit with it and it not be gloomy and horrible and is rare, I think.
Was it cathartic for you?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. It still is. I still have moments on stage where I'm feeling quite emotional about the passages.
Do you feel like when you're performing some of these, maybe you're reliving the grief process, or how does that work?
Mm-mm. No, I don't think... The reason why I put these songs together is not because of grief only. I mean, grief is always part of death. But also what I noticed when my mother passed away and I was there were moments of absolute beauty and transcendence. For example, when after my mom had passed away, her face was incredibly radiant. She had never looked so beautiful, and that was a moment of beauty. And it was the other thing that I noticed was that it felt really natural, and it felt really like that's the way of things. That it's not, and of course, you know, she passed away peacefully in a way. So that's not everybody's has that luxury. But there was an aspect to moving on or dying or passing away that had incredible beauty and seemed natural and seemed as it should. So I wanted to capture that more than, you know, the crying, the grief, the horrible loss, which I'm feeling more now than ever.
Right. Well, you know, you mentioned earlier about how our culture, well, actually doesn't deal with death so well or how it approaches it. It seems to me like I've just over years of living that in the American culture, and I don't like huge generalizations, but this is something I have noticed, that sickness and ill health and death sometimes are almost treated as a failure.
Yeah. And this is even true for a lot of New Age practices where people are blamed for their own illnesses. Like you have to, you know, it's your, because you are too stressed out, because you are doing something wrong in your diet, because this and this and that. And it always falls back to the ill. So there's that aspect. Yes, absolutely. It's a very shunned subject matter. And I like what Louis C.K. said, there are more people dead than there are alive, always. So we are in the living are in the minority of those who have already done this and already have passed on. So it's humbling to know that, yeah, it's going to happen. We have to go.
Do you ever listen to any Leonard Cohen? Because I always felt like he had a very kind of interesting take on the subject where it wasn't treated as such a tragedy, you know?
Yes, he incorporated that very well, and he was also a Buddhist, you know, so there was that aspect, which I'm not, and I try to keep religion or beliefs far out of this pool of songs as possible, but yes, yeah, absolutely, Leonard Cohen was a master.
Now, you're coming to Knoxville for the Big Ears Festival. I don't believe you've ever been to Knoxville before, have you?
Correct, I've never been. I've never been to Tennessee.
Oh, well, we look forward to having you. Do you have any knowledge of the Big Ears Festival, or do you have any sort of special plan for this particular festival?
Well, I'm going to take in everything I can, and the only knowledge I have, which is vast, is here in New York through the New Yorker article and the Times that's covering the festival seems to be a satellite of the world. Like, it seems to be incredibly vast in its reach and importance, may I say that being part of it, but it seems incredibly vibrant beyond its borders.
Well, I have to say, as a local Knoxvillian, it's almost as if a spaceship landed in my hometown, and the bonus of not just having a spaceship in your own hometown is that you don't have to go travel to see the spaceship. You know, it's I just walk down the street and this amazing amount of music is right there.
Yeah. I met two people on the road, one in Denver, one in L.A., who are coming to Knoxville, Tennessee, to the Big Ears Festival. Travel there to hear everything.
Well, we're very excited about you coming, and thanks again for talking to us. The new recording is called Elegy. It's on the ECM label. As you probably gathered from this interview, I absolutely love this record, and we're definitely going to hear more of this in the coming weeks.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
You're listening to Improvisations. This is Todd Steed. We've been talking with Theo Bleckman, who will be here in Knoxville as part of the Big Ears Festival, March 23rd through the 26th, taking place in downtown Knoxville. And just to make this point especially clear, I think it came across in the interview, but we were talking a lot about death and the great beyond and that type of a thing. Ain't nobody in a hurry to get there. I just want to make that clear. We ain't in a hurry to get there. So I think his point being, just don't be scared of it, you know. Live life every day. Keep going. All right. Now that I've made my philosophical point, I should remind you, you are listening to 91.9 FM WUOT, HD1 Knoxville, and WUOT.org. We're listener-supported public radio. I'll be back in a moment with more jazz, and I would also like to remind you that I love postcards. We all love postcards, and if you want to send us one, I'll probably send you back something really cool. Our address is 209 Communications, Knoxville, Tennessee, 37996. More jazz on the way.